Oh yeah, what is up, my friends? It's been a long time since I've done a solo podcast, but here we are. Let's get it started.
Public Yemeni number one.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Public Yemeni number one podcast, sponsored by my ass. I should probably try to find some sponsors. What up, Bolty? What up, Jason? What's cracking, brothers? Or they, thems, or whatever the fuck you guys are. Yeah, we're friends, bro. What do you mean, Jason? Oh, now we're friends? All right, fine. Acquaintances. You happy? You want to get technical about shit? Let's get technical about it. You know? Well, it's been a while since I've done this. The solo podcast. It's been nice to have guests on, more often. I prefer having guests on because, doing these podcasts by myself is sometimes not that easy, you know? Sometimes it's like... fuck, man, I gotta talk by myself, not be able to bounce stuff off of each other. But we've had some fun guests, man. Brandon Bricks was fun, dude. I like Brandon Bricks. If you guys are on the interwebs, you should follow him. He's a Diabetes the Second. That motherfucker fat as fuck. But follow his ass, you know, because Diabetes the Second is definitely somebody you should look out for, man. I love that guy. Anytime I work with Brandon Bricks, man, it's always a good time. And even having him on the podcast was fun too, man. I kind of want to get him on again because we were just doing dumb shit. And then we came up with the trash bar segment, you know. What's up, Yusuf and Robbie? What's cracking, guys? Thanks for showing up. Couple of things I kind of wanted to talk about today. First, kind of wanted to recap my week, man. It's been kind of interesting, to be honest. Well, not that interesting. But I guess, you know, Hollywood interesting, if you will. I haven't really been going on the road much because I've been, like, focusing on gaining more traction in Los Angeles because I've just been going on the road a lot, man. So then recently I've been definitely hanging out in LA a lot more, trying to do more shows out here. There's a comedy show called the Roosevelt Comedy, run by a guy named Max, who saw me at the House of Comedy in Phoenix, loved me, and then said, "Hey man, I do shows in LA too. You should come do the show." And it's great. It's like one of those swanky Hollywood type shows. And then it comes with an after party, man. It's always got beautiful women there, man. So, you know, that's always fun. But then he hit me up and told me that he was throwing another party. And I'm just going to show you some pictures from it. I went out as the devil, you know. That's my go-to costume for Halloween. Like, if I don't have any ideas of what I'm going to do, which is most Halloweens, all I do is I put on a suit. I put on these white eyes and I put on these giant ass fucking devil horns, and it really creeps people out. And then I did stand up in that outfit, which was a fucking big mistake. It was a big mistake. Like, that's the last time I'm ever doing stand up in a costume, especially a costume that's the devil version of me. Because, like, it was barely any of my jokes worked because you were only expecting the devil to talk shit instead of some Arab guy who thinks he's the devil, you know? But this was a super Hollywood party, bro. It was, we performed in the beginning. The pre-party was for the Playboy Mansion staff. So I guess the people who work the Playboy Mansion was there an hour before, and it was just a terrible part of my part. the devil did not bring a good show. I did terrible. Not only that, the venue was like not good for comedy. Comedy's got to come with low ceilings, so it's like nice and intimate, and the sound is very close. Here, man, you would say something and it would just echo and reverberate, and that never fucking works. But anyways, point is, the party was banging though, man. Got to perform with Kato Kaelin. See if I can make this bigger here. If you guys want to see, you see my costume with my big ass eyes. Look at that, bro. Tell me I don't look fucking, don't tell me I do not look scary. Now, if you guys don't know who Kato is, Kato is one of the witnesses of the O.J. Simpson trial. He was one of the guys that got on the stand and, you know, basically thinks that O.J. is guilty. He's a celebrity. He did some stand-up, some time. And, you know, he was a nice guy, man. I really like Kato. He was fucking really just chipper and fun and just a happy dude. I think I was coming down with a cold that night, man. And I think I'm starting to fight it off right now. And what really makes me mad is you go to a banging ass Hollywood party like this, and then you're not feeling 100%. And it's just like, fuck, man. You know, and I'm like at that age now where I'm not, if I don't feel 100%, dude, I don't care how many Playboy models are around me. I'm like, get the fuck away from me, bro. You know, here's a picture of me and some of the other comics, Maddie and Andrew, and also that pretty girl over there is Rachel Sterling. She's also a comic. You know, used to be in some movies in Hollywood. She's a sweetheart. I think she ended up getting us bottle service that night, man. I got pretty drunk. I got pretty damn drunk. Bolty says, hell yes, the horns are the shit, but I can see where it would be distracting. Yeah, it would be distracting, right? I mean, the thing that made me mad the most, man, was just that I was not in the mood to party. Remember the last time I did this solo podcast? I told you guys about the time I was in Phoenix, and then I had to like really woo this hot girl, finally took her home, but how hard it was because she was a troublemaker and like trying to dance with other guys, and then another guy tried to take her away from me, and I almost got into a fight, but then I had to like really flex to make sure I could take her home. I did not have that energy this night, bro. The devil did not come with that energy, bro. Like, that was my party to win over, and I didn't do shit, bro. I didn't. I like left the party semi-early, like around midnight, and instead went and hung out at some house party that a bunch of other comics were throwing, you know, which was not as exciting. But I don't know, I was just in the mood. I was in the mood to hang out with some fun people, you know what I mean? And not to say that the club wasn't funny, it was just overwhelming. But guys, you'd be so disappointed in me. The amount of beautiful women that were at this freaking place, dude. I got video. Well, I mean, I don't have it queued up right now, but I video where I panned the thing, and then it's so stupid. Like, I didn't realize until the next morning how many bitches were in there, bro. Like, when I looked at the video, I was like, the ratio is like 10 to 1. It's like 10 hot girls to every one frumpy dude. It was an amazing party. It was a damn good time. Here's some more pictures. Let me see. Not that one. Yeah, there's Rachel and her friend. I think that was her friend. I met that girl that night, Leah. It really was a very Hollywood-esque party. Oh, this is a funny comedian, Jennifer Sturger. You know, and my buddy Maddie. Yeah, you know, and the other comics were smart not to fucking wear a costume. Because I was just like, you know, I knew it was a costume party, but next time if I get sent to a costume party to do comedy, I am not wearing a costume, dude. Holy shit. You took the self-inflicted, what did you say? Oh, Jason says, sounds like a venue and party I'm not allowed into. Yeah, well, I don't know about all that, dude. You know. Those Hollywood parties are kind of, you really got to be in the mood for it, man. Because sometimes I'm not in the mood for the fakery of Hollywood. you know, like, ooh, the pictures, and ooh, we got to take a picture in front of this backdrop that has the name of the company that's throwing the party. And then there was some guy there that had a microphone and he was interviewing people. So then it was like very paparazzi-esque, you know, and I still don't understand that. I never understand what it's like or why everybody like wants to live that paparazzi lifestyle of, hey, let's get in front of this thing. And then a whole bunch of cameras were taking pictures of us. Some of them might have been from Getty Images, whatever the fuck that means. Then they had some guy on there with a camera interviewing people. And I don't even know who he was. Like, was it for a TV show or was it like literally when you throw a party in Hollywood, you got to sort of like have those elements at the party to make it feel like a Hollywood party? Does that make sense? It almost felt like I was going through a fake TMZ type of situation where like, oh, you're in Hollywood. Oh, you ain't shit, right? Like nobody knows you. You really wish people knew you and took pictures of you and stuff. Well, come to this party and then we get to go through the motions and act like you're a fucking celebrity. That's what it fucking felt like. And, yeah, it's just that there's parts of that type of like Hollywood party atmosphere that I don't know, man. There's days where I'm just like, I'm not down for this. I want to hang out with some real people, you know, but sometimes I am in the mood for that. Sometimes I'm like, yo, let's do this shit, man. Let's be fake for a night and have fun. But nah, man, I left early, went to Cole's place, which is another comic. They threw another fun party. It's the same place that threw a 9/11 party. Yeah. Now it's 9/11. They threw a 9/11 party. They had an ice sculpture of the Twin Towers getting hit and shit. Comedians. You know what I mean? So, like, what? Like, if you're not in the mood for the swanky Hollywood party where no girl's going to give you any fucking attention, what's the best next place to do? Hang out with a bunch of comics that would throw a 9/11 party. Sounds interesting, right? Very fun. So what else happened this week, man? Well, it was more than a week ago. It's been a while since I've done the solo podcast, but like, I don't know, man. I'm starting to lose faith in the world more and more, man. This simulation is breaking down in a way where I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around it. Like, to me, I am blown away that Dave Chappelle releases the newest special. I don't know if you guys saw it, okay? I thought it was good. There were some jokes in there that were kind of hacky, you know. His last few specials that Dave Chappelle has released, I have to admit, there were moments and some jokes in some of those specials where I was like, you could have just skipped that one. Like, when I can predict what the punchline is going to be, No, man. You're supposed to surprise me. And to me, it just like really blew me away. You know, that people got offended by this. And I'm sure you've seen on the news, man, people just going off, going, oh, he's transphobe. And there's like a scheduled walkout at Netflix and all these employees are up in arms that Netflix would allow this thing to be up there. It's like, have people forgotten what jokes are? Literally, like, sometimes we gotta understand and be okay when people are attempting to make a joke. I don't know how many people have like said like off color, like type of Middle Eastern type things. But you know what? At times I would give it a pass because I could tell they weren't being malicious. They were just trying to make a joke. They may have fell flat on their face, or maybe the joke was funny, but I really wasn't in the mood to hear it. I'm not going to fucking lose my shit over that. I mean, I'm a comedian to begin with. You know, if anything, I just tell them, that wasn't really that funny. You could have executed that better, right? But I'm blown away that if you watched The Closer, the new special from Dave Chappelle. And I think you should definitely watch it because, I mean, it's definitely worth watching. He goes hard on trans people, right? And he makes some fucking jokes. He goes hard in the paint, especially nowadays where anything makes people offended. Long story short, he, at the end of it, spoiler alert, he tells a tragic but lovely story about his trans comedian friend who defended him. Who defended him throughout his career whenever he would make jokes about trans people. You know, this comic would go out there and tell people, hey, yo, you know, he's joking. I know Dave. He's not a transphobe. I know him on a personal level, right? And he ends the this special with him talking about this friend of his who defended him and then ended up getting hatred from the trans community, so much hatred that they ended up killing themselves, okay? I'm blown away that you still have people, these trans advocates, just coming the fuck out and still acting like he didn't end it that way. I don't know, man. I'm literally fucking constantly every day blown away by how manipulative people are. Not how dumb, because these people are not dumb. Nobody is dumb enough to really feel that Dave Chappelle hates trans people. He said it multiple times. He's telling jokes. And then at the end of saying some terrible things about trans people for the sake of fucking getting us to laugh, he ends it in such a beautiful way about his one trans friend, you know, that was there for him. And that a community of trans people forced this person to feel like they should kill themselves. Blown away, bro. There's no fucking hope. There is no hope, man. Like, I'm like blown away. And the thing is like, I wish like we could get like some expert that could just come out there and be like, yo, these people that are saying this shit, they just want attention. That's all it is. You know, I think you have these trans activists and I'm not trying to say that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing or they shouldn't be, or that like trans people don't need, respect and more attention to their plight, because, you know, there's a lot of trans people that are like being disrespected and violently hurt for being trans. And, you know, these things are the things that we need to like pay attention to. Right. But that doesn't mean that we can't joke around about it. Like, I think specific groups will try to get together at certain points and they will just try to gain power. Whatever those groups are, whether they are Jewish people trying to scream against anti-Semitism, gay people trying to get gay rights, trans people trying to get trans rights, Chinese people trying to get people to stop hating them, you know, for driving. But I mean, I just think that like, in the end, man, all it is just people trying to get attention on their cause, and they'll do whatever they can to keep that attention on their cause. So even though someone like you will walk up to an activist and be like, yo, he just said he doesn't hate trans people, they don't want to hear that because it doesn't help their cause. And, you know, there's a part of me that kind of is like, are we that stupid as a whole, or are we allowing the dumb people to really write the narrative? And the thing is that they'll keep saying the dumbest fucking shit too. Like, you'll tell them straight the fuck up, yo, man, the sky is blue. Nope, it's red. And they just keep saying that over and over and over again until sooner or later we all agree that blue is now red. I don't know. I'm literally blown away by that, you know. And I'm glad that Dave Chappelle is saying fuck you to those people, you know. The thing that I don't like, hold on. The thing that I don't like right now in terms of what Dave Chappelle has transitioned into is that he's no longer as funny as he once was. But at the same time, it's important, you know, it's important that we need someone like him to release videos every once in a while where he's not really telling jokes, where he's really laying it down and telling the truth. I mean, you can tell that Dave Chappelle doesn't have to answer to nobody because he had a joke in his special where he says, I want to write a movie. I'm paraphrasing. He goes, I want to write a movie that I want to pitch. Okay. And he goes, it's about these, an ancient civilization of people that used to live on the planet Earth. And then they left the planet Earth across the galaxy. And then later on, they decided, you know what? We want to come back to Earth and we want to reclaim Earth as our home. And I call the movie Space Jews. Bro. I mean, everyone knows in entertainment, you do not say anything about Jewish people freeing Palestine, Israel is bad, anything like that. If you stick up for the Palestinians, man, some people, just like those trans advocates, will break your neck for basically saying you're anti-Semitic. And then now you're like cornered going, wait a minute, how am I anti-Semitic when Arabs are Semites? Please explain that shit. How is it anti-Semitic to be like, hey, one of these Semites is being oppressed from another group of Semites? But when you point out the fact that the ones that have no military are getting it up the ass, now you're anti-Semitic. And to me, it's like, it's great that Dave is at that level where he can say those things. Because if another comic that really needed Hollywood's backing to succeed, basically a comic that doesn't have the clout that someone like Dave Chappelle does, there's no way that joke would ever fly. I mean, Dave Chappelle has reached such a untouchable level that the guy is allowed to smoke indoors in fucking states where you break the fire code for doing that. That's the level of gangster he's at right now. And it seems as of right now, he's uncancelable. And I hope it stays that way. The only thing that I do want to see is I want to see him get back to being tight and funny like he used to. I think he's been so forced to be on stage and talking about all kinds of things so often that it doesn't really seem like he has like an urgency to do tight, real tight jokes. And I don't know, maybe that's the best approach so that you can like create more specials. Whereas someone like me, I want my first special to be airtight. This is my first special, you know? Or is it like hard to sustain writing tight jokes like that and releasing two specials a year? Because that's another thing. You know, are we releasing comedy specials too soon? Back in the day, man, guys would release a special every 3 to 4 years. And, you know, these guys would release specials. And for the time, it's like, yo, man, this stuff is airtight. Now these motherfuckers are releasing specials trying to cash in on this whole Netflix thing. And it seems like the specials are getting a little looser, you know. And then that's the one thing that I'm really looking forward to seeing is if we get more Dave Chappelle, if he starts really tightening it up. Apparently this last special might be his last one, but who knows. if any of you guys are, let me go look at the thing right here. Hey, Tarek, what's cracking? Jason Bacon says he's taking the Carlin path, which is fitting because he is our generation's Carlin. True. But you have to admit, though, George Carlin still. Carlin, you know, was releasing fucking specials every year, right? But even then, there was something about Carlin that was a little bit more, how do you say, tight, rehearsed, well thought out. You got to understand, man. I mean, like, even here in Hollywood, you know, Dave Chappelle will crash the Comedy Store. And I've been to a couple of these where, you know, Dave would come to the Comedy Store unannounced. And then that was it, dude. If you were a comedian and you were supposed to be performing that night, you're not. He bumped you. Usually, like, a big comic will come in and bump a smaller comic out of the way. And typically a bump is either the worst is you won't perform that night. But usually it's just, you were supposed to go next, but now Dave Chappelle or this other guy is going to come. And then when he gets off, you go on after them. And then, you know, as a younger comic, now you got your work cut out for you because you just have to follow a veteran killer who probably just cleansed the room, raised the bar on what is funny. And, you know, good luck getting up there following that. But when Dave Chappelle bumps you, he bumps the entire fucking night, bro. He gets there and he'll be on stage for 3 hours. I was at the Comedy Store the last time he crashed it. He went into the main room. He bumped Brian Holtzman, who usually like closes the night. Bumped Brian Holtzman, did 3 hours in the main room. 3 fucking hours. I sat through the whole thing. Then he got up, walked out, and before he walked out, he's like, I'll just go into the original room. Then he went to the original room and they were already pretty much getting to a point where they closed and he did another 2 hours in the original room. Now, those 5 hours probably had 5 jokes. The whole time he was just like holding a meeting. It was still interesting, man. You know, you're seeing one of the greats and he's up there coming up with ideas. Literally, he ended up talking for an hour to some British guy that was visiting and having a real fun conversation with this guy. So, you know, you get to that level and you're able to flex that hard. I get it, Jason, you know, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's almost like you're resting on your laurels right now a little too much. And this is not to say Dave Chappelle's not funny, dude. You got to watch that special, man. He says some fucking poignant, hilarious things. But, you know, when you see younger comics doing it and stuff, especially, you know, now you see this, you know, we get this tightness, this like bam, in, out, joke, laugh, move on to the next thing. And it's, there's something about that that's great too. And I don't know. I just feel like it would be really nice to see Dave Chappelle go back to something very tight again. But let's move on. You guys, probably from last time I spoke with you guys, you guys know that I've been having like sleeping problems and shit, neck issues or whatever. And then I would try to give some advice. Guys, I found something out right now. Holy shit, man. Maybe I really should start trying to get some sponsors, especially for sleeping. Because like sleeping is everything. I'm not feeling 100% now because I think I'm still getting over that cold that I probably caught at that party. Who knows? It might be fucking COVID. But I take so much of vitamins, you know. And I really try to stay on top of my health that whenever I do get sick, it doesn't last long. Or if it does, I just feel ick for a minute. But I've been using that sleep app to monitor my sleep. I've been taking those supplements, magnesium threonate, apigenin, and L-theanine to help me sleep a little bit better throughout the night. That's been helping a little bit. But holy shit, the thing that really did it for me, and I don't know if you guys know this, it's called a weighted blanket. Does anybody know or have heard of this, man? Because if any of you motherfuckers know about this and are using this, I'm very disappointed in the fact that none of you told me. You pieces of shits. because this thing, holy cow, changed everything. And I was doing a slight research on this, and I guess that the weighted blanket thing came up in therapy back in the day, where they found that a way to get people who were restless or who suffered from tons of anxiety during therapy, the best way to get them to focus was you put this heavy blanket on them. And something about the weight on your nervous system triggers it in a way where it calms it the fuck down. It's really interesting. This thing changed almost everything for me, you know? And I really think more people definitely need to be getting this thing, man. So it's like, it's just a blanket. You can get it off Amazon. That's where I got it. I got like a 20-pound one. And the way I have it, I just put it on top of my comforter. And it's fairly heavy, you know? I mean, it's not that heavy, but if you're like an elderly person, you might have a hard time getting out of bed and shit, man. I wouldn't get a real heavy one if you're a weak-ass bitch. But it's a 20-pound a blanket. And I've had this shit for a week, and bro, like, it's at that point now where I know, like, there's times where I get up and I can't go back to sleep. But man, since this weighted blanket, I'll get up. And then if I go back to sleep, something about the weight of that blanket pushing you down, dude, knocks me right the fuck out. And now that I've been looking at my sleep app, which, like, I keep my phone on my bed and it monitors my movements. Dude, holy shit. Like, I'm seeing less movements throughout the night. And that's a good thing. So, like, I'm now staying in this deep sleep part a lot more. So this has, you know, and some of you guys might not know the reason why I got like this neck issue where I have a compressed disc, and then I got it's pushing a nerve. And if I sleep on it a certain way and I can't control what angle I sleep on it, sometimes I end up waking with this intense pain, numbing pain in my hand, and then it'll wake me up. The doctors injected something about a couple of weeks ago. It seems to be helping a little bit, but I'm still having some issues. But this weighted blanket, man, I almost want to figure out what it's like to get two of them, like have 40 pounds on me. Would that even help even more? But I hope that helps you guys, man, because honestly, this is one of those things where I would say this is definitely something I think everyone should have. Because even if you don't have a hard time sleeping, you think you're not having a hard time sleeping, why not like optimize that shit? What are you guys saying? Yeah, you guys still can't argue about the whole thing. They are cuddle blankets for single chicks. Jason Bacon says they are cuddle blankets for single chicks. The fuck you talking about, bro? That's why we had to keep our bunk so tight. Same theory. Oh, is that why, Bolte? So I think what Bolte is saying right now is that's why in the Marine Corps we had to keep our sheets so tight. Same theory? Huh. If that's something that you already knew, man, I never thought of it that way, Jason says. I do sleep better in a tight bed. Okay, bro, I'm learning some shit here. My boy Bolte from the Marine Corps says, I sleep with a tight bed. Keeps me from tossing and turning, messing up my lumbar spine anymore. Interesting. All right, guys, we learning. Tarek says, just sleep with the woman laying on top of you. Tarek, you're a piece of shit. Get off. We don't want you here, bro. You're not smart enough to hang out with us. Jason Bacon says, the spine thing for me means getting a new mattress, but alas, I am cheap. No, definitely get a new mattress. The one I got right now is a Casper. Man, I like it. It's good. But, dude, I had no idea, Bolte, that that having a tightly fitted mattress, because like in the Marine Corps, that's, you're right, we you know, we would have to make our beds, and yeah, we would have to make it tight with the hospital fold, and everything was just like, and you know, I still do my bed like that, kind of, you know, not like that though, but the point is that there's no way you're going to expect a tightly folded bed sheet to keep you down, man. Fuck all that noise. You got to get this weighted blanket, man. Like the one I got, I think it was only like $40 in the end, like $35-40. I got a 20-pound one. And yo, it's fucking amazing. Absolutely amazing. Tarek, yeah, I should probably get Tarek on the show. You know what, though? I want to get Tarek on the show with somebody that would piss him off. Not piss him off, but like, you know, one of these, some of these other podcasts, you know, I want to invite someone that I've had on the podcast before, but then also pair them with someone else that I know is going to spark debate or, you know, have some fun, you know. I love Tarek to death, man. Last time I hung out with Tarek, Big Red was hanging out with us, and we was out in Detroit. I mean, in Dearborn, in front of Les Cigar, and man, the motherfuckers. Tarek had to leave, man. He almost wanted to beat the shit out of Big Red. But, you know, I find that shit interesting, though. You know, who knows? Maybe we can get Tarek to fight on my podcast and beat the shit out of me for fucking pairing him with somebody he hates. I should just have him come on the podcast and then ambush him with fucking Big Red on the show too. Be like, what? And then next, you know, I got to get new equipment. Actually, Tarek is not like that, man. Tarek will beat the fuck out of most people, man. But he's not about that, man. That guy he's a good guy, man. I love Tarek to death. Before I let you go, I want to talk about, man. I'm at the point now where I'm starting to think that maybe I should be a doctor. I swear to God. Like, there are some fucking, like... I yesterday, man, I was, like, so pissed off, man. Like, like, I'm talking about... Who the fuck allows some of these people to be doctors, bro? Why is it that you're allowed to get your doctor's degree, right? Your doctorate in whatever field of medicine that you want to get into. And it doesn't seem like these doctors are forced to retest and reevaluate the latest cutting edge in science, nutrition, and medicine use. It's so fucking stupid what I have to do to enhance my health, you know? Because, like, it blew me the fuck away what this doctor told me yesterday. So basically what I just want to let you guys know. So, you know, as we get older, there's an approach. That's why they have these anti-aging clinics or, like, testosterone clinics, is because you go to a regular doctor and a lot of these doctors are just not privy to the latest science and nutrition. They're not about that. And I, you know, and I think, like, also the system forces them to be too careful. They don't want to get sued. They don't want to whatever, you know, but that's not the case with this doctor that I saw yesterday, man. So I belong to an HMO, and so my point is I have, for like the past 4 years, been on hormone replacement therapy. I've been on testosterone replacement therapy, right? And then I do other anti-aging things, like, of course, vitamins. But then I also take metformin. Some of you guys might have heard me talk about that. You know, metformin is a diabetes drug that I think Bolte also takes that to keep his blood sugar down. But I don't have diabetes, but I still take it because they're finding out that it reduces cell death, right? So... effectively, it's slowing the aging process. Why not So I take metformin and also eating a healthy diet, balanced diet as much as I can. Thyroid. Do I have thyroid problems? Not even a little bit. No. But, you know, as you age, your thyroid stops working like it used to. So what do? Is I supplement with thyroid just enough to get my levels back to where they would be if they were working at optimal levels. I'm not blowing it up. I'm not doing anything. I'm taking a small amount. Now, I was going through like a testosterone clinic at one point, but then those guys, it costs a lot of money. And that's how they make their money. They make their money by prescribing you metformin at a increased price, because they know that if you go to a regular family doctor or your doctor that you've got through your insurance, they're going to be just confused as to why you want to take something you don't need. And it fucking blew me away, man, because I belong to an HMO, and the office that I go to now, which my HMO says, this is the one that you're going to, there's three doctors in there. And the one that I usually see is pretty decent, you know, he kind of gets it, right? Not too much, but just a little bit. And there's this one Filipino lady who sometimes is on duty there, man, and she's a fucking idiot. Like, it is so amazing. Like, I've never met a doctor where I just wanted her to stop doing it. She just a straight up, like, she got her degree back in the 1800s, because she old as fuck, man. I don't know exactly how old she is, but she old as fuck. Like, when I had my neck issue, right, I walked up to her first, because she was on duty when I came in. I'm like, hey, I'm having a hard time sleeping, you know, my neck is like giving me pain down my arm. And she goes, ibuprofen. What a dumbass accent. I was like, excuse me, did I just pay a $70 copay for you to tell me to take Advil, bitch? She's like, oh, no, try that first. Did you try it? And I said, yeah, it doesn't really help. And then I told her, I go, I don't want to take ibuprofen. She's like, why not? If it helps, take it every night. So I had to break it down to her. I'm like, I don't know if you noticed, but the latest studies have shown that in the end, excessive use of ibuprofen has been shown to actually force more inflammation long term. So that it basically, they're finding out that if you keep taking ibuprofen, and it's not to say that I don't take it, because sometimes I need it, but it's bad for you. So yeah, it'll reduce the inflammation, but it hijacks the inflammation system so much that it tries to adapt in a way where now down the road, you're going to have even more inflammation. She wasn't having it. She's like, no, ibuprofen. Okay. And you know what she told me before she let me go? She said, okay, I guess it's not important for you to sleep well. I never wanted to fucking, oh my God. I couldn't fucking believe it. This person gets to walk around with doctor in front of their fucking name. She literally was like, take Advil. Oh, you don't want to take Advil because you're really paying attention to the latest science that's coming out? Oh, I guess you just don't want to sleep well then. Okay, up to you. Ugh. Now, I ended up having to call the doctor's office again. And then when I did, my other doctor was back on duty. And he was like, oh, I should send you to a neck doctor. Maybe we should get an MRI. And lo and behold, right, we're finding other shit that we need to fix. Fucking yesterday. So a week before, I called them and I was like, hey guys, I'm going through this testosterone clinic and they're charging me too much for metformin. And you know, and when it comes to the thyroid medication, I could just get it through you guys, right? The doctor that was on duty that day wasn't my normal doctor. It was a woman with a Filipino accent named Dr. Khan. I just assumed that it was that stupid imbecile lady, the ibuprofen lady. So when she picked up the phone and I heard that accent, I literally was like, oh no. But then the voice goes, how can I help you? Told her, I'm like, hey, metformin is a good anti-aging drug. I don't have diabetes. I would like it prescribed to me as a preventative measure and to extend my life. Would you be able to do that? And also thyroid medication. And Dr. Khan on the phone goes, oh yeah, that's right. Metformin does have anti-aging properties and it's a pretty safe drug to take. Why don't you come in the office? We'll draw your blood. And then from the results, I can see if it's still safe for you to take because we should at least check your blood to make sure. Very reasonable. This whole time, I thought it was that dumb ibuprofen doctor. I was like, did she just get smart all of a sudden? Then I went yesterday and some doctor gave me the physical, took my vitals. I needed the physical anyway, the whole ear test, eye test. Bro, my eyes are on fleek. I got better than 20/20 vision. 2013, bro. I could be a fighter pilot. Did all the fucking tests and whatever. Then I sat there and that nurse practitioner is like, can I help you with anything? And is there anything else? I'm like, yeah. I just wanted to talk to the doctor to make sure that she knows what we talked about before. That we're doing this blood test to see if it's safe for me to take metformin and thyroid. As soon as I said metformin and thyroid, the nurse practitioner was like, what? What? Metformin? Okay. Okay. But do you have diabetes? No, I just told you I don't have diabetes. I want to take it as a anti-aging thing. And she was like, and what? Oh my God. Okay, let me talk to the doctor. I'll be right back. And she's gone. Like, it's like these doctors, they paint by the numbers. They don't even have like any critical thinking skills. Like, you give them something that makes them go, wait a minute. No, I can only give you this drug if you're sick. So get sick first. And then maybe we can throw this safe ass drug your way. So then she goes and gets this Filipino. Oh my God. It has nothing to do with Filipinos, mind you. She might not even be Filipino. She could be like Mexican. No idea. But I think she was Filipino, but that's not the point. The point is, I don't even know her name. This is how much I hate this woman. And when she came into the place, I literally saw her face and I just could just feel this stress because I was already there for 45 minutes. Everything was running really slow because they had students in there. So now not only are they guinea pigging with my ass, but they got students that they got to like train that are like interns or medical interns or whatever the fuck. So I'm fasted, mind you. I haven't eaten all day. It's almost fucking noon. Been there for 45 minutes. Still haven't gotten my blood drawn. And this lady comes walking in. Well, what do you need metformin for? You don't have diabetes? And I was just like, oh my God, it's the ibuprofen, bitch. And in my head, I was still under the impression that she was the one I talked to on the phone. Just because of the same accent. And I remember just telling her, I'm like, we just talked about this on the phone. She's like, no. We didn't talk about that on the phone. I would never give you metformin. You need to get diabetes first. That's what she said. You have to get diabetes first. Shut the fuck up. What the fuck does that mean? Guys, I'm sorry for getting like really pissed off right now. I cannot even wrap my mind around that. You're a doctor. You haven't even heard of using metformin as a preventative measure? And then when I told her I take it for anti-aging, she was like, you can't do that. I was like, what are you talking about? Just one Google search will pull up a million PubMed studies where they constantly keep showing time and time again that it slows down aging, that it fortifies every cell's mitochondria, increasing your defenses. And this lady literally is telling me, you have to get diabetes first. Yo, I'll fucking. And then I told her, I was like, I also needed thyroid. She's like, you don't need no thyroid. And then I told her, I go, it's an anti-aging measure. And then she goes, you need to listen to me. That's not what you need. What you need is vegetables, sleep good, work out, enjoy life. She's telling me this as she's fat. This fat, pudgy, antiquated, old, saggy woman is telling me how to be young. Dude. And then I went to get the blood drawn. And when I walked in there, another thing was going to go wrong. And the nurse that was there to do the blood, when I walked in, she was at the desk with her hand, like resting her face on her hand, like bored, like this bored look on her face. She's the one who's going to try to find the vein. So she goes and tries to find a vein in my one arm. She pokes it. I'm sitting there. I'm always calm when this shit happens. So to me, I'm just like, that hurt more than usual, right? But I just keep my cool, whatever. Then she goes, after she puts the needle in there, she has to get the vial to put into the needle, which makes the blood fill the vial, and then they pull it out, and then they put another vial in there. I'm sure you guys had to deal with that. So she puts the needle in there. It hurts more than usual. I don't complain. I probably should have, right? Then she puts the vial on the needle and air shot out of it. Like it went. What the fuck was that? When I looked at the vial, my blood was spraying into the vial with pressure. Air pressure. And she goes, oh no. And she pulled it out. And I go, what happened? She goes, I think I did it wrong. I need to burn this hospital down, bro. I need to take a fucking a tank and just drive it through that place while everyone is in there. I will do the whole world a bit of favor. Then she had to get the older nurse in there, and she gave me the other arm. She knew exactly what she was doing. She put the needle in there, and I couldn't even feel it. Air came out of my fucking body, like 85 PSI. That doesn't seem normal. I don't know what the fuck she did, but that whole experience just blew me the fuck away. So then I called the doctor's office after I left to talk to the lady in the front. And I was like, who's this lady here? I go, put it in my fucking notes that I never want to see her ever. She's a fucking idiot. Why is she even a doctor? Doesn't even understand that metformin could be used for anti-aging, or that people might use it for that, or that it's also a really safe drug. It's got like 50 some years of use, or maybe like less than that, but it's got decades of use and data. And instead of her going, you know what? I should research this. This is not something I've heard before. No, she goes, I can't give you that. You need to get diabetes first. Go fucking kill yourself first and then give me a reason to put a Band-Aid over it. get an ailment that's almost hard to reverse, so then now I can throw this drug at you. Fucking A, man. I'm sorry if I'm like ending it on this, but this is like just Tarek says get better health insurance. Dude, let me tell you something. I don't think it has anything to do with the health insurance. I think it has everything to do with this clinic that they're sending me to, and that I just need to be more proactive. You know what I mean? I'm in an HMO, so then, yeah, I might be able to go on this thing. I just need to be more proactive. That's all it is. This is the moral of this fucking story, is that when it comes to our health, we got to be more proactive, man. We got to stay on top of that shit. For example, look at the testosterone replacement therapy that I've been getting. I went through three testosterone doctors, okay? And they all had a different, slightly different approach, but it was almost very cookie cutter, okay? The first doctor was supposed to be a really good one, and he put me on a testosterone cream. It was 200 milligrams twice a day with the cream, right? And I remember when I did it, I was like, hey, man, I feel good and everything, but man, my fucking libido is gone. It's just practically non-existent. Like, I don't even want to fuck anymore. What good is having testosterone if you don't want to, you know? And he was just like, oh, you know, that's just what it is. And yeah, he never could address that. But he always wanted me at this specific type of testosterone. He goes, we got to get you at 1200, and then we need your free testosterone at least at 25. I notice guys start feeling better when that happens. And then, you know, it's just this balancing act, right? Then I went to another doctor. He pretty much did the same thing, but then he put me on an estrogen blocker. The estrogen blocker kind of helped a little bit with some of those symptoms, right? But I didn't like taking an estrogen blocker because I heard those are not too healthy to take, you know? I had to figure it out on my own. You know what it was? I just had to scale down the dose. I ended up paying for my own blood work. I went against what the doctor said, and I just decided to lower the dose, right? I decided to lower the dose to half at first, I remember. And as soon as I did that, everything started feeling better. All those dumb symptoms were gone. Sex drive was back. Like, in the mindset of these doctors, they're like, no, you got to hit this number, and that's when your boner works. It's like, everyone's different, man. That's why I'm saying, I really think, like, when you work with a doctor, you have to work with your doctor, man. Like, you have to force yourself to stay on top of and educate yourself about how your body works. Because I think all too much, they make us do shit that they think that it works for everyone. But that's just not the case, you know? But anyways, I did get proactive. I called the clinic and I told them. I was like, yo, that doctor's a fucking imbecile. I don't ever want to see her again. I don't care if she fills in for anyone. You got to let me know if she's there, because I'm not coming in there. She's a waste of time. And no, they told me that it was this other doctor, Dr. Khan. And now I'm going to follow this doctor, because I think she might be out in Long Beach. It's like an hour away. I'll fucking change my clinic to wherever the fuck she is, man. Because finding those doctors is priceless. Because the other doctor that I had before was this Indian guy. You know how he got me to lose weight? He told me that my cholesterol was too high. I was like, I know, my cholesterol is always high. And then he goes, yeah, but you know, it's not really healthy to have it that high. And you know, you really should try to lose some weight. He goes, because if you don't lose weight, it will compromise your boners. I was like, say that again? You're saying I'm going to be fucking up my hard-ons? Yep, you will compromise your boners. I'm sure you don't want that to happen now, do you? I lost 45 pounds because of this motherfucker, bro. Like, he knew how to get through to me. That's healthcare. That's healthcare, baby. That's how you do it. Critical thinking skills, people skills, understanding what's important to your patient, using that to get them motivated. That was motivating as fuck. I'm healthier now because of that guy. And now I don't know where he is because I'm in an HMO and they moved him someplace else and I forgot his name because I'm an idiot because I wasn't being proactive. Could have easily followed wherever the fuck he was. He was amazing. Amazing. Now I got this clinic with this idiot, antiquated, fat, pudgy ass idiot doctor who thinks that I just need to eat vegetables. Which she's right. I do need to eat vegetables. But she needs to stop being a doctor, bro. Anyways. Damn, I went fucking long on this one, dude. I wasn't even planning on going for this long. You motherfuckers are great for fucking tuning into that. Listen, man. If you have anything you can take from this, man, weighted blanket, man. Get some fucking good sleep. And, bro, when it comes to our health, man, be a little more proactive. I'm going to start doing that. You know, too many times I go into the hospital, I'm just like, all right, whatever happens, happens, you know, but next Tuesday, what do you mean see you next Tuesday? Motherfucker, it's Wednesday. Anyways, yeah, got to stay on top of that shit, man. To me, like, it blows me away. Like, the more I start learning, the more I realize you really do got to be more proactive with your health. And even when it comes to your blood work, man, study that shit. What the fuck does this number mean? What the fuck does that mean? You know, what do I got to do to lower this? What do I got to do? Like, my cholesterol, always high. Always, always, always. This lady yesterday was, your cholesterol is still high. Are you doing anything? And I was just like, I told you this last time. My cholesterol is always high. That's just how my cholesterol profile is. I had to educate her what the other doctor taught me. My bad cholesterol is high, but my good cholesterol is also abnormally high, which means when you take the two and you figure out the ratio, I'm safe. But this bitch yesterday couldn't understand that shit. She's trying to fucking throw cholesterol medication at me. She saw my blood work and be like, ah, you can I won't give you metformin because I don't understand that anti-aging shit. You got to get diabetes first. I'll give you metformin if you get diabetes first. So go get diabetes, come back, and I'll get you metformin. In the meantime, your cholesterol is really high. I think you're sick. I'm going to throw this fucking, no, bitch. The ratio says I'm fine. Get the fuck away from me. Imagine how many people's health she's fucking up right now. This dumb idiot. So yeah, man, be more proactive. I'm doing that more and more. Even like just recently, calling the doctor's office, going, "Who's this doctor? I don't want to deal with her." And who are the other doctors that work here? And who's this Dr. Khan person? Oh, they're just filling in. Well, this is the first person I called when I called this place that actually understands what the fuck is going on. I couldn't believe this doctor literally was like, "Oh yeah, metformin's great for anti-aging. Let's see what we can do." And then I get this fucking other frumpy fat bitch. You need vegetables. You don't need to work out. Anyways, I'm mad. That's okay. I think I feel better now. Guys, keep it together. That's actually advice to me. I ain't lying, man. This is one of those days where I kind of wish we lived in a fucking cartoon, like a Looney Tunes cartoon, right? Where I can just drop an anvil on that doctor, right? And then after the commercial break, she'll come back after like walking away flat. Or just like launch a rocket launcher into that building. That's why I like the game Grand Theft Auto. I think I'm going to fire that up right now. It's been a minute. It's one of my favorite things to do in Grand Theft Auto, just blow up the entire city. It makes me feel so good. I remember back in the day, whenever I got pulled over by the cops and got a ticket, I'd be so fucking mad about it. Then I'd go home, open up Grand Theft Auto, and because I had a bunch of roommates, I'd also have an audience watching, and I would just go on a rampage. I'd just go and kill every cop in the city until they send the tanks in. Therapy, man. Yeah, Tarek, I love that game too, man. It's fucking therapy, you know? I'm going to go in that game. I'm going to create a character that looks like that frumpy Filipino doctor, and then I'm going to blow her up. Anyways, guys, I got to get going. Stay healthy, man. Let's get some good sleep, guys. Invest in a weighted blanket. I'm telling you, it'll fucking change everything. All right, guys, till next time. Next week, Kazim Rahman, my very first guest I ever had on the Public Yemeni podcast, is coming back. He's a fucking great dude, really funny dude. We're going to have a good time on that podcast. Next week, 2 p.m., I'll see you guys.
Public Yemeni number one.